Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning, everybody. Let me see if I remember how these things work here, Jeffrey. I speak into this thing, right? Yeah. All right, I think I have it. It's been a long time since we have been on the air. It is, and I really do mean this, it is good to be back.
Routine, baby.
I don't think we've had, just because of where Christmas fell, I don't think we have had as long a break, I'll be honest, ever. It's nice that at least one of you missed us, and maybe others, but at least one of you did. I missed y'all. There were times, actually, this actually happened. There were times I wished we had a show the next day so I could talk about something.
Yeah, this is weird. This normally I always feel that way. I'm ready to jump out of my skin.
You're ready to, no.
I actually think what helped me, and I'm not even saying this because maybe my wife's listening, but because Josephine didn't have daycare. Mm. I had a ton of dad daughter time, like kind of like invent an adventure and like go do something. And it didn't feel like I was missing anything.
What adventure did you do?
So
tell me one. Just give me one.
A couple of times we went to the dog park with my dog and Josephine and watching her and
dogs run around.
Right. That's and fun. Then we went over to the playground at Shelby Farms and that was a thrill.
That's a thrill. I don't know. I'm certainly ready to be back at it. It is January 6th. Happy January 6th, however you choose to celebrate. I think of it with our return here, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. I think of it as a day of love.
Yeah.
Given our return.
I think of it as a day of layers.
And I think of it also as a day of layers because it is, as promised, it is nippy outside. Even though I'm thrilled to be back, I am suffering a little bit because I have whatever has been going around. I am at the tail end of it. I may be fighting through just a little bit. But anyway, it is absolutely thrilling to be back. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He will be back. He wrote a piece yesterday on Jimmy Butler being dealt to the Grizzlies. The possibility of Jimmy Butler being dealt to the Grizzlies. So we will get into that. Obviously,
but Memphis, Jeff, the Grizzlies weren't on the list.
They were not on the list. The Memphis Tigers won a close one yesterday. We'll talk about that. All kinds of goings on in the NFL, including a cold day for Doug Peterson today. He got cashiered. Gerard Mayo already fired, former Vol, lasted 1 year in New England. Interesting for me because I was corresponding with various New England fans who are friends of mine, and I was really glorying in the fact that my Bills were losing to them yesterday. I loved the Joe Milton performance yesterday because it, of course, was destroying New England's draft pick. As distraught as they were that the Pats won yesterday, Pats fans, they got over it very quickly when Mayo got fired. Like, they're like, all right, fine, I'll take it.
What if he could have had both?
Yeah, you know, they may get... This is not a draft where it's crushing to fall to four instead of one. You know, whatever. I don't know anyone's going to be paying a king's ransom to go up to get Cam Ward, right? Or Shador Sanders or whatever. So, anyway, most New England fans thrilled. Gerard Mayo, let's see, he's going to the Giants. Anyway, we got a lot of NFL stuff.
I mean, here's the reality. The Titans are at one, the Browns are at two, the Giants are at three. If you need a quarterback, and all three pretty much do, The price could be steep if someone wants to move.
Yeah, just don't pay a steep price for those. You're already, if you get them up top, you're paying too much. I mean, again, I'm the one who said if the quarterback's good, it doesn't matter where you take him. Doesn't matter if you take him at 16 or 1. So maybe that. But there you go. Like I mean, we'll get into this later on the show. But Titans, Browns aren't taking a quarterback, are they?
You sure?
Well, they're certainly not taking Shedeur Sanders. Add that to the tumultuous mix there. Now, they fired their OC.
Problem solved.
So, I don't know. Are the Titans going to take a quarterback? Probably.
I would think so.
Cam Ward to the Titans?
I mean, I think Shador's going to go first.
You think so?
Yeah.
Shedeur to the Titans.
That'd be my guess.
And then?
And then I think Cam
goes second to whoever, whether it's Cleveland or Cleveland trading out.
Correct.
Giants going up to get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Either way, what that may well mean is that the Heisman Trophy winner is there for the Pats anyway, at 4.
There you go.
Right?
Two of them. Well, no.
So, okay. We got a lot to talk about. The Grizzlies play tonight, by the way. They got Mavs in town tonight at FedEx Forum. A little deflating because no Ja and no Luka.
Yeah.
At least it's a fair fight, though. Grizzlies coming off.
At least it's not one with that, yeah.
A road trip where that ended not so well with losses to Sacramento and the Warriors, but they are home tonight back at FedEx Forum, so you can go out and catch the Grizzlies. Tonight we'll talk to Chris Harrington about that as well. But one thing I wanted,
Dez is doubtful too, by the way.
I saw that. Dez is doubtful as well. To sum up a little bit from where we've been away, Jeffrey, I wanted to ask you a series of questions. Best game you saw while we were away?
Okay. I think you have to go Texas-Arizona
State. Gotta go Texas-Arizona State, right?
Yeah. The others I considered, and you tell me, because I've racked my brain since you told me to think about this. Commanders-Falcons.
Oh, that was tremendous. That was tremendous.
Bengals-Broncos.
Really good. Yeah.
The Bengals-Broncos was like not really a great game, but it had unbelievable moments and like, oh my gosh, moments. And so like that made it gripping. And then I also threw in Grizzlies and Suns. The Grizzlies win Phoenix.
I can see all that.
That game was really fun. It was late. I don't know if everybody saw it.
I think it's pretty clear. The best game on our biggest stage was Texas-Arizona State.
Yeah.
Right? And
given the stakes.
Scadaboo doing what he did, puking on the sidelines, coming back. You got the controversy over the targeting, no targeting. You've got Texas then finally emerging. Honestly, two big throws. Two
absolutely
massive throws to win that game from a quarterback who has been somewhat. But the other thing I liked about it was, and we can talk more about this as we go on, there's been a lot of talk about the playoff. How would you change it? Has it been good, et cetera? I don't know how, and maybe you disagree, I don't know how you can look at what has happened over the course of the year and in the playoff and not say this is a dramatic improvement in college football. For what it did for the regular season, creating interest at Tulane and at Navy and at Arizona State and at BYU and all through the SEC and all through the to teams that once they would have lost would have seemed out of it, Big Ten, et cetera, Clemson getting back into it. Like, it created interest across the country right to the bitter end in terms of who would get in. Yes, it did diminish because it didn't have the losses were not as devastating. That's the only drawback. The losses, the losses you incurred along the way. Like, if you were Michigan, it would have been more satisfying to, when you beat Ohio State, to have crushed Ohio State and crushed their dreams and put them out of the playoff, right? And that obviously didn't happen. On the flip side, honestly, in addition to the widespread interest in college football across the land that we saw because of this, you had teams that, like Notre Dame, is able to lose a game and still be where they are. Ohio State is able to lose a game and still be where they are. Penn State is able to lose and still be where they are. You actually have a chance to recover and to prove that you are the best team in the land. I mean, it may well be that Ohio State's the best team in the land. And it may well be, it certainly looked like it right now, and it may be somewhat injury-related, et cetera, but it may well be that they're the best team in the land and that the 12-team playoff is the thing that's going to give them a chance to prove that they were the best team in the land, whereas a 4-team would not have. So so then the other objection has been, well, the games have stunk. And too many of the games have been blowouts. That is unquestionably true, and there will be questions about seeding, et cetera. But we also got a game like Arizona State, Texas. Arizona State would have been in irrelevancy this year, except for this new system.
Heck, they were in irrelevancy until they
Scataboo would have been playing in what bowl game? Like, or he probably would have he wouldn't have opted out, but he would have been playing in some whatever.
They probably would have been in the Iowa State spot, so they would have played Miami in the Cheez-It Bowl.
And no one would have given a flip.
Pop-Tart Bowl. Beg your pardon.
It's been dramatically better, and thank God we got at least one classic game, and now we have, I don't know, I think two pretty damn compelling semifinals, no?
Yes, I mean, I think the semifinals, because what I think is interesting is, are we witnessing Ohio State reaching its final form, peaking at the right time, and showing that, hey, we thought they were one of the two best teams coming into the year, now they've proven it. Yes, they had some stumbles along the way, but at the same time, it's like, they haven't really gone up against a defense that's going to be as physical and can control the line of scrimmage, and so there's an intrigue there, and then Penn State, Notre Dame, it's like, aren't they kind of the same thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's obviously Notre Dame, Penn State is Thursday. Ohio State versus Texas is Friday. Okay, so we agree best game was Arizona State, Texas. Here, game or games that you enjoyed particularly, even if for some petty reasons, that were not Arizona State and Texas. Other games you got particular enjoyment out of?
Illinois, South Carolina.
And why is that, Jeffrey?
Because you had the whole
Illinois said the back and forth between the head coaches.
You have Bielema kind of, I don't know if he was trolling Shane or whatnot, but then Shane comes out looking like the spoiled brat that's like the villain in a high school movie and he doesn't realize it.
I was pretty clear on this. I thought Beamer was in the wrong.
Yeah,
I thought,
yeah.
I 100% thought Bielema, he was indicating his displeasure when you make this signal. What's it called?
It's the substitution.
The
timeout?
The one where you on a kickoff, you're not going to.
Oh, yeah. You're basically saying, like, let the ball go.
Yeah. We're going to say, and they use that as a decoy.
Correct.
And it's a safety thing. So I think he was right to be furious at Beamer for trying to toy around with that. I thought Bielema was in the right.
I thought the whole time Bielema always comes across as, like, Shane is the guy that believes, like, he's the smartest guy in the room, and Bielema has actually
Bielema's trolling him the whole time.
I think Bielema's always one step ahead. And the game was just, it was physical, it was a fun, it was a back and forth, like, it was a good football game.
I had two games that I enjoyed particularly.
All right.
One, Memphis Ole Miss in person.
Yep.
Last weekend. It was just great, honestly. It was just fun. And obviously, you know, I want good things for Memphis, so I was happy that for Memphis they were able to put a triumphant end on their out-of-conference schedule.
I don't know if John's ever released our text messages, but I also enjoyed that one because I told him, it was like, before the Mississippi State game, I was like, if they're going to lose one, it's going to be the Mississippi State game.
Because... Well, you were correct. And here's the thing. Even if Memphis had lost that game to Ole Miss, I think you would look on paper and say they had a successful non-conference season, given what they accomplished, right? But it wouldn't have felt
There would have been a bittersweet
season.
Element.
It would have been, you would have lost three straight at home there at the end, because you would have lost to Arkansas State, you would have gotten disemboweled by Mississippi State, and then he would have lost to Ole Miss. It would be, you would say, okay, yeah, well, this is better. I would have taken it. Yeah, yeah.
You would have had to talk yourself into the mental gymnastics.
And so it really was important for them, I think, for the program in terms of momentum, feeling good about themselves, the fans feeling some sense of enthusiasm, for them to win and do it the way they did. Like, Musa was great in that game. Colby Rogers obviously dropping in three after three after three. So I enjoyed that one.
I thought it was also big when that game, they have the great start, and they punch him in the mouth, and you have the great start, but then Ole Miss makes the comeback, and then the game started to get a little squirrely, but they made, like, they made runs to put Ole Miss away. And, yeah. I thought that was big.
Yeah, it was massive, and obviously they then went out and won their first non-conference game. I mean, conference game, smashing FAU,
yep.
And then winning yesterday. We'll talk more about that in the next segment. But I just thought that was a really fun game. Atmosphere was great. A lot of Ole Miss fans there, a lot of Memphis fans there. Didn't feel exactly like old times in the sense that there were 18,000 or something in there, but it was a really good crowd. And that was a fun game. The other one that I really enjoyed was Michigan beating Alabama. And I enjoyed that. And I'm sorry, because I know there's a lot of Alabama fans out there. And I do, you know, I can't imagine what it's like right now in Tuscaloosa, the angst that they are feeling in Tuscaloosa right now. But I got so sick of the, I really was stunned that Herb Street, who generally is a pretty down-the-middle guy, right, that he went as balls to the wall, they got the wrong teams in, as he did, right? After the Indiana result and after the SMU result and whatever, he was like, the essence was this is trash. And I hate to say it, all right, Indiana. Indiana's trash. Why? Listen, their best win was beating Michigan. Well, Michigan just went out and beat Alabama. Like, here's the truth. That was a mediocre. Like, if you're going to, there are arguments about who should have gotten in or who shouldn't have gotten in at the end of the 12. There are going to be arguments, right?
Yep.
But this idea that you would plant your flag and be outraged that an Alabama team that was just blown out by Oklahoma, that lost to Vanderbilt, you would be outraged on behalf of that Alabama team? It seemed crazy to me. And then for Alabama to then go out and lose to Michigan, and obviously bowl games are wildly different. The incentives are different, et cetera.
Well,
they had their quarterback.
They had their quarterback. This game, though, was also wildly dictated by weather early.
It was. There's no question. No, I just like the result. I just like the result, and I like the fact that, let's be honest, the SEC 8-6 overall in yep. bowl games, including Alabama losing to Michigan, A&M losing to USC, Tennessee getting throttled by Ohio State, Oklahoma losing to Navy, and they're 1-4 against the Big Ten. It's not going to change anything in terms of the way they bully people around going forward. It's just not. If anyone makes you think this is going to introduce a dose of humility and perspective, no, it's not going to. But it was not a great bowl season for the SEC.
No, there's no getting around that. I guess where I looked at it was, I'm with you on the whole arguments about who should get in and whatnot, but I think also what you realized is when Alabama was clearly being separated from the other SEC teams that had three losses, you also realize why SEC fans were upset.
That was crazy, too. Ole Miss, I think, had the stronger argument, yeah. or as strong an argument.
And I'm not even trying to take the side that Ole Miss should have been in. Like, in the end.
No, but the idea that there was some clear separation was nuts.
Absurd to me. It's like, if those two teams played, I'm taking Ole Miss. Like, I was. And what you saw is people understand teams that have been beaten by Alabama for years and years and years, you understand when to give Alabama the benefit of the doubt. This year was not one of those years, and they kept getting the benefit of the doubt, and that was what drove people insane locally. Then the other thing that was a little annoying, I got Mark's group chat, and Mark's,
I can see why that would
Mark's, Mark's sitting there going, we started the year beating Alabama, closed the year beating Alabama. Fine. That's facts.
Facts.
But then he's like, we just put DeBoer on the hot seat. And I'm sitting there going, Mark, he was on the hot seat the moment that they lost three games.
Yeah, right, yeah. So what's going to happen? They obviously will change the seating. They're not going to give Boise State and the Arizona State equivalents.
I mean, maybe, but you're hearing right now most of the people that are covering it are saying changes aren't imminent.
At least 1-2 years away.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is that, because what you hear, one of the things, and I don't expect this imminently, but one of the things you hear is that there will be more slots ultimately set aside for the SEC and the Big Ten, right? That there will be. It's not just going to be the conference champions that get in.
Yes, it's going automatic qualifier.
Automatic qualifiers four.
Yes, that's what you hear.
Yeah, that's what you hear. Four. If you do that, the advantage, by the way, of that is that the SEC is then going to have to figure out internally how they rank teams, how they determine who's one, two, three, and four, right? Like, it will not. The advantage is it won't be subjective, right? You're going to have a conference ranking, conference results, and those top four teams will get in.
Yep,
it won't be a beauty contest, right? The problem, though, is that what do you do with the conference championship game? That destroys the conference championship game. There's some argument that the conference championship game would instead, because they don't want to give away that money, would instead become some kind of a play-in game.
Yeah, you keep hearing three and four, but it's like, right. That's what are you labeling it as? The SEC play-in?
Yeah.
I mean, what gets left out of this conversation that they don't want to talk about is that the SEC championship game for them functions as a Super Bowl in this sense, not the stakes of the game.
A place getting together,
business,
corporate, all of
cutting deals, whatnot. It's like the Final Four is for coaches. It becomes right. Like a convention where you're passing your resume around. Like it's a networking, and they don't want to get rid of that because it's such a cash cow. Does that still hold the same stakes? Like when you're telling Dr. Pepper, like, hey, you know, instead of the championship game, what about the 4 vs. 5?
This could be a wager. This could be anything. Dumbest thing you did while we were away.
I bet on Carson Wentz yesterday.
You bet on what was the line? What was
so
the,
I technically had a teaser
this is Denver and
Kansas City yesterday. And I got 17.5 points with Kansas City. Wasn't asking him to win.
Needed him to be within 17.
Correct. And then you realize, like,
after like two series, I didn't watch another second.
Yes.
Was Carson Wentz awful?
Well, to say he was awful would have said like he did anything. He was just such like he was playing scared, whatnot. Like, and I mean, I actually think this is a legitimate question. There were so many people that laughed and scoffed that the Chiefs were going to make sure the Bengals didn't get in. I don't know, man. Based on that effort yesterday, I think they made sure they weren't taking the chances. The Bengals weren't going to be in. And I get it. Like, hey, there's no guarantee that's who they were going to see. But it's like, I think they just were like, you know what?
It was an interesting. Like, there were some things on the line yesterday. The way the Falcons-Bucks thing played out, that was at least, like, the Falcons game became really interesting.
Sure.
And honestly, I liked watching Michael Penix versus Bryce Young. That was sort of fun, right, watching them. They both had good games, so that was sort of fun. In the end, it didn't matter.
Totally agree. By far yesterday, that was the best watch.
Yeah, that was a fun watch. And then beyond that, yes, Denver had to win to get in, but that was clear from the beginning what was going to happen. And then last night was interesting, certainly up until halftime, and I was thrilled for Detroit that they were able to pull that off. They've been ravaged by injuries. They played great. And by the way, Sam Darnold did not.
At all. And this is why when people keep doing the give the Vikings respect, I've never once said the Vikings stink.
No, the question is, are they a legit?
Correct.
Do you
like
really
the
think
whole
they
time
could
is
win
like,
the
do
Super
I
Bowl
think that they can
Sam Darnold?
Or right. Just win the NFC. That's really all I was talking about. And in the end, I kept coming back to, I don't trust this guy when the going gets tough.
That was a reasonably fun watch for a while.
The intro with Jeff Daniels talking about like
right. It
never gets old, saying that the Lions are for real. Like the setup to everything, like it felt like a massive
good uniforms
game.
Good in good,
I don't
good
like
logo.
When the Lions wear
you
the
don't
black.
Like?
I don't like when they wear the black. But
I like the metallic blue thing they have going on there with the black. I don't know.
I'm with you in the sense that I felt like, yes, the injuries to the Lions on defense are a laundry list. Like, we all understand that. I still think people were completely dismissing the fact this offense is so freaking,
it is so
good,
freaking good
that, yes, like
it is so freaking
they
good.
Just need a few stops. Like, we saw it last night. They didn't even really play that well on offense, and they still put up 31.
Dumbest thing I did, I think, say that non-sports related. I was up in New York and Connecticut. Ben, by the way, my son Ben has opened his, and Peter have opened. Peter's working with him on it. Have opened their business, their virtual, their their golf business in Manhattan. So if you're ever in Manhattan and want to, you know, swing a club or two, head over to Ready Golf. Or if you have friends in New York, Ready Golf. It's got two bays, Jeffrey. Of course, you do birdies here.
I do.
So similar deal, although this is not food and
Jeff,
drink.
Concept, please.
It's not. Ben and Peter don't do food and drink. They literally, in New York, it's hard to hit a golf ball.
Yes.
So they opened up their business, and so I was there for that and celebrate Christmas with my sister. So the two dumbest things I did, on the 26th, I drove. This is the longest single-day drive I've ever done.
All right.
I drove from Connecticut to Manhattan and then here, and it was 20 hours straight. It was 20 hours straight. So that is, like, I've driven around the country. I've driven, you know.
Usually don't. Get into your 60s and then tack on 60, the longest drive of my life.
That was something, man. That was something else. But the single dumbest thing I did. So I was at the. Doesn't it feel like everybody's sick? Do you know people who are sick?
Yeah, I mean everybody feels like they're going through it.
Yeah. So I was at the Memphis Ole Miss game.
My aunt. Yeah.
I felt fine when I got there. By the end, literally, it was pouring rain at when I left at 10 at night or whatever it was, and it was pouring rain, and I was. Shivering. I was, you know, I was very clearly had chills, fever, etc. By the end of that game, I was a total wreck. But that was a week ago. And I'm still feeling it. I've never been flattened by like this before. I even went old school and took a COVID test. And I'm not like, that's not, you know, I'm not someone who rushes out to take a COVID test at every whatever. But I think the dumbest thing I did was Thursday. I was feeling dramatically better and I decided I needed to get some exercise in.
Oh, boy.
And so I got on the Peloton.
Okay, well, at least.
And that pushes you, though. The Peloton.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it did, but.
You came back too soon?
I heard whistling in my lungs for the next 3 days. And so it was just a totally stupid thing to do.
Jeff,
so
you got to get back healthy.
I do think if any of you are going through this, don't go hard on the Peloton. That would be my medical advice.
As they were showing Aiden Hutchinson on the sideline, she's like, I just hope he doesn't come back too soon. It's like, well, sweetie, I don't know if you're familiar with Aiden's work.
Yeah.
He's probably coming back too soon.
Okay. Last one. Hottest sports take you weren't able to get off while we were away, Jeffrey.
The player empowerment era has gone too far.
Okay.
All right. And so there's a lot of
things. And where are you on this one? Who?
Okay, so I think fundamentally, if we
Tyreek Hill, I'm out, tapping out.
The Jimmy Butler one's really driven me insane. But also, I mean, when you're just watching all the bowl games and you're hearing, you know, like, I understand why guys are in the portal. But it's like, the other reason they're in the portal is because we're doing the song and dance that the academic calendar still matters.
Right.
But so it's like, but really, largely what it's come down to is, I think there was a point in which we're sitting there going, it's the billionaire owners getting way too much.
Right.
That's fine.
The university coach is getting too much.
Everyone.
Right. They're all getting too much. The players aren't getting enough.
And we're sitting there going, like, the guys that are laying it on the line, they're not getting enough. But we have swung so far in the other direction that we've completely lost sight of, yes, the owners don't work for us, but the owners do work for our teams. And what we've now realized is what we care about is the team.
Well, this is why it's terrible because.
And fundamentally, this goes against me. I'm an individual rights guy.
As a man of the people, I have always thought I should be pro player. But for the reasons I hate to say this. I'm a sports viewer.
Yes.
Like, I'm a fan and a sports viewer and a fan of my teams, right? And so, as that guy, I don't like free agency. I don't like the portal. I don't really care. Like, I want the players to get a fair shake,
yes.
Right? Of course you want the players to get a fair shake. But the truth of the matter is that all of this stuff makes it harder to watch. It just does.
And I also believe this is true. I think the product is worse in across the board. Like, this isn't just an NBA take. I think college football, I agree with you in terms of the season. Totally agree.
No, yeah, but the portal stuff is.
But what I'm talking about is level of play.
Okay, but how about this, though? How about this? In the end, if anyone out there doesn't agree that the portal is insane, they're just not being honest. Portal is insane. People, backups leaving before the season's over. Like, it's crazy. But how about this? The people who have the power to fix it refuse to fix it. So, for example, take the NFL.
All right. Right?
Is the quote-unquote player empowerment movement too strong in the NFL? No, it feels like just about right. You know, you get a contract, you got a salary cap, you got a hard salary cap. You can spend up to the cap. After that, you can't spend. You make hard decisions. You cut people. Here's the truth. I mean, I hate to say this, the NFL does it right. There's no guaranteed contracts, so you do get these bonuses up front that sort of act.
And
as
then yesterday
somewhat,
because the games aren't interesting. Yesterday became a story of incentives.
Right, and honestly, most of the games in the NFL yesterday was aberrational because some weren't interesting, right? But most of the games in the NFL are interesting. You got players under to me. You got a draft that works. You got I think the NFL does it right. I think college sports is a mess, but they have the power. All they have to do is have actual contracts and have these players under contract. Right now, if Desmond Bain wanted to go somewhere else, he couldn't just say, I'm entering the portal. He's under contract. That's how it works. And so if you have these players under contract, there is an answer for them. They just don't want to embrace the answer. So that's the university's fault. And the NBA is a different beast. My take on the NBA is I freaking hate. I hate the soft cap.
Yep.
I think it makes it crazy confusing for everybody. But
either you have a salary cap or you don't. That's always my opinion.
Hard cap, and then you shouldn't have max salaries either. In other words, if you want to give Luka 80% of the money, that's a choice you make, and then with the rest of the cap, whatever, then you should be able to build around whatever. See if you can build the team around Luka or Wemby or LeBron or whoever it is. The problem there is that you can't.
The players will not want to agree to it.
Right. They've won. The players won. Right. Maybe that goes to the point. Player and problem. It does not. This is just. I know it's a. This is a regressive take, but the player empowerment era does not serve the fan.
Correct.
And that's just true.
Correct.
I
understand. Like Goodell, is he really putting fans first? No one makes the joke of faster than I do.
But they're on our. In the end, owners. I hate to say
correct.
This. The interest of owners.
We're more aligned.
Are aligned with the interest. It's correct. Just true. It's just true. All right, my hot sports take, and this was something I wrote about 2 days ago in the Daily Memphian. It's not really a hot sports take. It's just a take.
It was a lifestyle take.
We got to get out there again, man. It feels like we Memphis, yeah, not this week, but I mean, go to the Grizzlies game tonight. But like, it's funny because you can look at any attendance issue, whether it's Memphis football, Memphis basketball, Grizzlies, 901 FC, whatever it is, and you can tell yourself, well, here are the reasons for that, right?
Like,
sure. And I give you reasons for everything. But in the end, they're all down. Like, they're down dramatically down. Football is worst since 2014. Memphis basketball, you got Penny begging people to come. I knew the Grizzlies were struggling in attendance. They're last. They're last in the league in attendance. They've got one of the best teams in the league, one of the most entertaining styles of basketball in the league, and the most mesmerizing superstar in the league. And they're last in attendance. 901 FC, which used to, obviously the left for reasons unrelated to attendance, but they were drawing whatever 7,000 their first year when they stunk and they were down to 2,500 or something this year. I'm just ballparking it now. That was fun. We used to be this town that, sure, we got our problems. We got lots of problems. We got leadership craziness over at the school board and we got an interim police chief still after a year, whether that's a problem
who
or not.
Was the police
we got,
chief?
We got MATA
the
issues there. Whatever. We got all kinds of. We got like the mayor in his talk after January 1, he said we got to tone down the drama, and I second that. We got to tone down the drama, but we've always had drama. We also were a blast. Like Memphis has always been fun. You know, Memphis was the town where after a playoff series, the Grizzlies, everyone would be out there on the plaza doing the stupid old Cupid shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's time. We got to get back out there again. And I know, like, whatever. Tell me the reasons. The Memphis football schedule's terrible. Crimes was scary. Whatever else. Like, in the end, we don't bluff. You can't cower inside for forever. And I do think that if you actually get out there and do stuff, you might be reminded it is fun to get out there and do stuff. And it doesn't even have to be sports. It can be, you know, going to the Orpheum or whatever, going to see the symphony or going to something at the Brooks or going to whatever the hell turns you on. I went to a Christmas
sing-along. Go watch some games at the Brookhaven.
Go to a downtown restaurant. Go back to the Rendezvous. Actually, one of the things Claire and I have decided, I don't know if we're going to do this every week. We're loosely talking about one downtown restaurant a week. I think that may be a little rich for our blood. One a week downtown. Maybe one every 2 weeks. But like, and we might start with a Rendezvous. It's been a long time since I've been to the Rendezvous.
We went over great.
I really want to go to the Lobbyist, which I've never been. You cried.
It was so good.
I want to go to the Lobbyist, which I've never been to. But it is time. We have to get back to being fun again. And there are two Grizzlies home games this they're last in the league in attendance. I do think crime is a big part of this, or quote unquote perception of crime is also a part of this. Those two things go hand in hand. And then individually with each particular sport, like for the Grizzlies, is crime worse this year than last year? Like they're down from last year and they're down from the year before. No, if anything, crime is better since.
And the team is.
Yeah. I think if you're going to look for the micro issues to try to rationalize all of this, you might say that some people felt burned by last year, right?
Sure.
And so maybe that, like whatever, but you can.
Well, you could tell me also. People felt burned last year and didn't want to renew this year.
Right. But it's funny. I gather their renewal rate was pretty high. So anyway, get out there, people. It's a new year. Resolve to do stuff fun in Memphis that involves leaving your house. All right. We got to take a break. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk Tigers and Grizzlies next a little bit. Have a question for Jeffrey about that. We got a lot of NFL news that is cascading even as we speak.
Black Monday got moved
it's
up.
Good to be back. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, back and better than ever, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, we just ran a holiday spot for O'Call telling you about Christmas wrapping. So that seems a little... Timing doesn't seem right there, right, Jeffrey?
Seems a little dated.
Just seems a little dated. And so I am here to bring you the updated news, and that is the fall and winter semi-annual sale is underway. It is cold out there. It is cold out there. Honestly, could the timing be better to go in? Men's, women's, fall, winter, tailored clothes, outerwear, all of it, on sale at Oak Hall. Now would be the time to fortify yourself against this cold weather, which, by the way, did you see this going to last all week, maybe into next week?
They're predicting 6 to 8 inches on Friday.
Never better time than right now to get into Oak Hall, not just because it's cold, because the savings are hot, hot, hot.
There you go.
What I did there, Jeffrey?
I did.
Seriously, it is the best time of year to get into Oak Hall, so do that. Do not tarry. Get in there today. All right, Jeffrey. As we head into 2025, do you feel better about the prospects for the Memphis Tiger basketball team or for the Grizzlies? And this is all,
yeah, it's all
given contextual, given right. What the expectations were, everything else. So talk me through it a little bit.
Did you see Mark's note from a couple of weeks ago about Ja?
I did, about the health.
So for those that missed it, since the Shotgun Willie's incident in Denver.
We don't speak of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mark can speak of it. He's no longer a Memphian.
It was about fantasy football team name. Since that incident, Ja has not played more than 5 consecutive games. And obviously that involves context. He had the suspension, he had injuries, whatnot. But like for me with the Grizzlies, to feel as good as you can going into the playoffs, you have to have him healthy. And even in a year in which, hey, I'm not going into the lane as much, like I'm trying to protect my body, like without Ja,
the ceiling just lowers.
Yeah, are you assuming that come playoffs there's going to be no Ja? I'm not.
I mean, I'm not, but we're now, how many, what is this, the third injury this year?
It's also, so it's also true that here right now, the Memphis Grizzlies, I find this really interesting because the Memphis Grizzlies are third in the West, which honestly, much better than predicted.
Yeah.
They're third in the West. They're 23-13. They're killing it offensively. They're only, honestly, a half game out of second in the West. And so here's the thing. Before the season began, I would have told you that, and the problem here is that the Tigers had done such a great job of lowering expectations for themselves. It's not a fair fight.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they've been so bad last year that it was so tumultuous in the offseason. They're like, just make the tournament and that's, we're happy. Whereas with the Grizzlies, we weren't just make the playoffs and we're happy. Right, I wouldn't have said that about the Grizzlies when the season began. Just make the playoffs.
Well, it's
and
because of the timeline of the players.
Lie down. Yeah, it's also where the everything is, and so, I think if you're asking me which team is better relative to the rest of the league in which they play, right? Which team is nationally better?
Yeah,
Grizzlies are better.
Yes,
Grizzlies are literally. The Grizzlies are the equivalent of whatever. Pick, you know, Tennessee, by the way, still undefeated. How about that? Beat the hell out of Arkansas over the weekend. But pick a team that's, like, really good but is not the best team in college football. I mean, in college basketball. Pick that team. Alabama. Grizzlies are Alabama.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, they are. And the Memphis Tigers are not.
Yeah.
Like, so in terms of which team is better relative to the competition, Grizzlies are better. Which team has a better chance to win the win a title this year? Grizzlies. Or get to the championship game? You'd say Grizzlies, right? Wouldn't you?
Yep.
If you then say which team has a better chance to meet expectations, I feel really comfortable about the Tigers meeting expectations because my expectations for them were get to the tournament. And I feel really comfortable about them getting to the tournament, don't you?
Yep.
It's just sort of it's sort of interesting though, because you're right. The injury stuff with the Grizzlies makes you nervous. But you'd have to say, honestly, you'd have to say both teams have had wildly successful seasons so far.
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, the Grizzlies have been successful. I'm not diminishing the accomplishments, but like. We're all in denial for saying it's not a bummer that we're not watching Ja.
Oh, it's yeah, but you know what else though? We're not watching Luka either. Like it's not.
No,
some Memphis specific thing,
right? But the question was Tigers versus Grizzlies.
It is kind of crazy though, isn't it? That with the Tigers, they got seven guys they play basically.
The
right?
Tigers have some stability right now.
But what's interesting is that we just assume. Why is it that we just assume with college basketball we can assume that your players are going to be out there. Every night, we're going to see P.J. Haggerty, we're going to see Tyrese Hunter, we're going to see Colby Rogers, and we're going to see them. They're going to play a million minutes, and they're going to be there every night.
Because rest management, load management, it's not a part of college basketball.
And is that it, or is it also they only play two games a week?
Those all go hand in hand.
Load management is built into college basketball, so you can play that many. I don't know. I feel, here's what I say. I will say this. In terms of which team is more likely to meet the preseason expectations that I had set for that team, what were the preseason expectations to the Grizzlies? Just be top six.
Yeah, I think it was avoid the play-in.
I think they both will.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I will also admit, this is another big part of it with the Grizzlies from me. When I watch the Grizzlies and I know they're playing a bad team, I know, for the most part, they're going to wax the floor with them. But when they go up against good teams...
Yeah, but same thing. How about the Tigers? If they went up against Auburn or Tennessee or Alabama, or like, how would you feel about them either?
Right now, the Grizzlies, against teams 500 and above, 8-9. Against teams below 500, 15-4. That ratio's better than
Tigers.
Let
me ask you this. Which team is more likely... I think both teams are highly likely to meet my preseason expectations for them. okay? Which team is more likely, like I was mentioned earlier, the Grizzlies postseason when everyone was doing the Cupid shuffle, mm-hmm. right? And there have been equivalent postseasons in Memphis Tigers where we're all, where the city is picked up emotionally and transported by sure. this team, right? Which team is more likely to go on a playoff run like that? I'd say the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think so.
What's interesting, though, is so the Grizzlies are, what's funny to me, I think you're right, so I'm not disputing it. What's interesting to me is the Grizzlies are absolutely on track to meet or exceed preseason expectations. The Grizzlies are more likely of the two teams, we think, to go on a deep postseason run. And yet the Grizzlies are the team that you feel most nervous about because of their record against really good teams and because of their injury history. And maybe all of this comes down to you have high expectations of the, you have dreams yes. for the Grizzlies. And so what you're focusing on is the way those dreams could be short-circuited. Whereas the truth of the matter is, I'm thrilled with what's happened with the Tigers, but I don't actually have big dreams for them getting to a Final Four.
It's to your original point of they lowered expectations.
I will say that I think, to me, looking at both programs, maybe the most astonishing thing that has happened has been Penny Hardaway's public transformation.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy went from a podcast this summer where he was ripping everybody, where he was casting himself as the victim, right? Where he was talking endlessly about how he was underappreciated, mistreated. To now, it feels like every time he opens his mouth, I mean, heck, he went on Field of 68 with John and said, I failed as a coach. I mean, he was, I failed as a coach. I didn't know what I was doing. It feels like every time and it's kind of amazing that after, you know, here we are this deep into his tenure and he has had this 180, this public 180. Now, it's also, I think he's gotten affirmation because of the way he's talked about it. I think people have appreciated that. And then it also, they've won. I think it's also helpful to continue to keep throwing yourself under the bus when other people aren't throwing you under the bus because yeah. you're winning games.
I guess what I would say is I think he finally got some good advice and he listened to it.
I think that was key too.
I mean, I want to be clear. I agree with everything that you said, but I also think someone finally, because
well, do you think the key here was Ed Scott? Not Ed Scott, Ed Scott and Tim Duncan?
I certainly don't think it hurt. And I mean, I don't know how Penny's, I don't know how Penny's support system works. Like, we kind of know the people that are involved, but we don't know exactly how it works. And so, I agree with you. I don't think it hurt, but at the same time, what if someone else that's in his ear finally got into his ear and changed his mind? Like, I don't know. But I do agree that the new approach has made it much, much, much easier to root for.
It's interesting. The two things that bother you about the Grizzlies, their record against good teams and the injuries.
Yes.
In a way, it's easier to rationalize the record against good teams because of the injuries.
Sure.
In other words, oh, yeah, let's
you're see. You're going undermanned.
When they're healthy.
Right. But the problem is,
We might see a different.
The problem is, though, I agree with that, but the problem is we keep going, well, when they're healthy. They haven't been healthy in a single playoff run.
Reset expectations right now. For both. Like, what are your...
I mean, to me, it's still... Maybe this is me being stupid, but
let's take the Tigers first.
I still think... I view this...
Aren't you to the point of win a game? I'm to the point where I do think, in the end, if they make it, it's a success.
I think the way... The drama, the feelings, everything, the emotion around the program, I always viewed this year as... You have to view this as a reset. Let's get back to the tournament. Take a deep breath.
I agree. But now that they are where they are,
I still think it's...
And given that the seeding could be lining up the way it is, there could be a massive opportunity here to finally get to the second weekend. I'm not saying that's my new expectation or my new bar or anything else, but I wasn't thinking about that at all when the season began. And given their guard play, given how good they can be when they make shots, like for this team, it's just a huge key, right? Are they going? Is Colby Rogers going to go bananas, right?
Sure.
But given how good they can be, I'm now at least hoping for something that I never even really hoped for before, which was second weekend.
I guess where I would say is I've moved from get to the tournament. I've never really been one to go swing with the emotions positively or extremely because I've been pretty consistent. I think it's a tournament team. I have gotten more open to the idea that this team could get to a second weekend.
Yeah, that's where I am.
But the problem is, like, what if we're talking about, is this season an utter failure if they go 31-5 and they get into a tournament game and a 6-10 game?
No, and here's the other thing. Whatever, 6-11 game. We saw this yesterday. Like, I wasn't... It's hard to win every game, you know? So yesterday they struggled. Obviously they struggled. They emerged 168-64. P.J. Haggerty hit that moon ball, which was one hell of a shot from 30 feet that put him up 64-58 with 212.
That was my other hot take I was sitting on.
What?
P.J. Haggerty's a winning basketball player. David Jones was not.
Oh.
I also think a lot of the penny stuff that happened this summer.
I like that one.
I'm squatting on it.
It's funny. It is also true. Like, when they go through P.J. Haggerty, you know, like, Dane Danger can put up numbers.
Yep.
But when they throw the ball into Dane Danger, I'm like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next?
You're hoping for you the know? Best.
Yeah. I'm hoping for the best because a couple things can happen. A, he can hit a sweet shot with either hand.
Yep.
Right? That would be great. 7 turnovers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can send him to the line where it's a total mystery. Right? Whereas
PJ got 4 or 5 yesterday.
He was, yes, but
yes,
but
agreed. It's a mystery.
Literally just the way the shot looks is unnerving.
Yes.
Right? This sidewinder thing that he uncorks. Whereas PJ Haggerty, balls in his hand, I feel a sense of relief. God. Yeah, absolutely. I like that hot take. So they're going to struggle, and I it's just really hard. And I know they've played the best two teams they're going to play in conference. They're going to lose some games in conference. They just are. But anyway, I feel good about that. With the Grizzlies, what's interesting is I would have said earlier top 6 would be my expectation/bar for them, not be in the play-in. And I feel pretty comfortable that they are not going to be in the play-in, you know, barring some disastrous injury. I feel pretty comfortable that they are not going to be in the play-in. And then I'd say... For me, the bar between success and failure with this team is they got to win the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? If they get bounced, if they get in wherever they get in and then they lose in the first round, season will be a failure.
Yeah, and I think there'd be changes somehow, some way. I mean, most likely it'd be a coaching change, but I think that'd be the case.
But honestly, I feel good about where both of them are. Relative to what could have happened, whatever else, yes, there are things that trouble you. The things that trouble you about the Grizzlies, injuries, etc., are more fixable than the things that trouble me about the Tigers, which are they're thin. They turn the ball over too much. And, you know, it's a flawed roster. It's just going to be a flawed roster. That's what it is. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to go back, talk to Chris Harrington on the other side about the aforementioned Grizzlies. He wrote a piece about Jimmy Butler and the possibility of the Grizzlies trading for him. We'll talk to Chris when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.